Now it's time for The Money Coach. It's our weekly conversation about matters of personal finance and the economy. This week, we're going to talk about credit cards. Credit card holders are looking for relief as the first provisions of the Credit Card Accountability, Responsibility, and Disclosure Act go into effect on Thursday. Here to help us understand what these changes might mean to millions of consumers is our personal finance expert, Alvin Hall. Alvin, welcome back.
Thank you.
So, Alvin, this bill addresses the kinds of things that consumers have complained about for years. The bill was signed in May, but it was controversial because a lot of the provisions don't go into effect for some time, but some of them do. So let's talk about the ones that go into effect right away.
Okay.
The first is that credit card issuers are supposed to route bills to consumers 21 days before the due date rather than the current 14. Why is this important?
It enables people to stop getting hit with all those late fees. Typically, some of them had reduced it even lower than 14 days in reality. Some of them were demanding 6 days you had to pay your bill in for a grace period. Now you have 21 days for them to mail in the bill, and the grace period must be at least 21 days, giving consumers time to mail in their payments and avoid all the late fees.
Another complaint for consumers have been receiving hikes in interest rates on short notice. Are there new provisions to address that?
Yes. Under the new rules, they have to give the credit card holder 45 days notice when there's any significant change in the terms of the credit card, including the interest terms. And then in the same notice, they must tell the individual that they have the right to cancel the credit card before this change goes into effect. This is really important for consumers because it gives them some time to look for another credit card. But also, I think there's a provision that says if they cancel the credit card, there is a regulation that gives them then the ability to restructure the payments. So they must do it over 5 years, and the credit card company cannot raise the minimum payment over twice what it was before, double the percentage.
And what about this whole question of double cycle billing? What is that, and does the bill address that?
I got hit with this, Michelle, and it just drives me insane. They would look at your previous month balance and then the current month's balance, and they would do a calculation of your average daily balance over both of those cycles and then charge you interest on that. That was so wrong. That would be completely eliminated under the new bill, and it should be.
Because? Why should it be?
Well, because it means you get hit with all these outrageous interest charges based on a bill you've already paid off or you've made a payment on. So it was like allowing the companies to charge you for something you've already paid off part of the bill and for the new bill. It was double dipping. That's what you can call it, double dipping.
And what was their rationale for that? In a sense, you're saying it was completely one-sided, is that the companies just basically decided what they were going to charge you.
You know, there was really no good rationale for it other than predatory practices, to be very honest with you. There was no reason for the credit card company to say, we are, quote, entitled, unquote, to the interest charged on your previous balance during the previous month and the interest on the current balance. It was truly just exploiting the public. And I think that's what's so disturbing about all of these charges, that some of them were truly unnecessary for the companies to make money. But as interest rates drop lower, they had to come up with more and more ways to try to make money from the average public.
So these are the three provisions that are going into effect this week. There are other provisions that are going into effect in February of 2010. Can you tell us about those?
Well, I think the most significant ones come under the heading of plain sight, plain language. Under the regulations that go into effect in February 2010, creditors must disclose on the billing statement the period of time it would take somebody to pay off the entire outstanding balance, as well as the fees and interest charges they would incur during that period of time. That would definitely wake people up to see how long and how much credit they are in. The other part, it will disclose on a monthly basis and a year-to-date basis all the fees that are being charged on the account. That also is a wake-up call for consumers. But there are other things that go into effect, especially for young people and college students.
And let me hear about that, because I know this is one of the things that you've really been talking a lot about. You're very concerned about young people getting into credit card debt very early. What are the new provisions that address them?
If the individual is under 21, then the credit card application must be co-signed by a parent or guardian. If the person is working, then the credit card company must verify that the person has income in order to make the payments. But they're also limiting the amount of solicitations that credit card companies can do on college and university campuses. And these ideas of giving away something free in exchange for a credit card application, that's being completely eliminated. And those things, I think, are really good. It's hard hard for students beginning their college careers to resist the temptation of what seems to be free money. And if their parents haven't given them a true grounding in how credit cards work, this could be the path to danger.
But I also do want to emphasize that for people who are saying, well, gosh, you can vote at 18, you can serve in the military at 18, what's this all about? The bill does include a provision that if you are employed and you can provide proof that you can make these payments, then you can then enter into this contract on your own. One more thing, gift cards. Now, I know a lot of times we don't think of these as credit cards, but are there provisions affecting gift cards in the new bill?
I think of myself and my gift card at Linen and Things, a now bankrupt company. I received a gift card from there, and within 6 months of fees had basically wiped out everything.
You mean there are fees on the gift card? Why would you got the gift, but you had to pay fees?
Inactivity fees. If you didn't use the gift card, they would charge you a fee per month for every month the card's unused balance was outstanding. They will be completely eliminated now, and the expiration on the card must be a minimum of 5 years. This is a significant change for somebody like me who gets a lot of gift cards at Christmas time because people don't know what gifts they want to buy me, and I can't get out and use all those gift cards.
There was an easy solution, Alvin.
What?
You could have sent one to me.
This is true. I'll send you my gift card for Bloomingdale's.
Okay, well, thank you, I guess.
Yes.
As long as there's still a balance on it.
That's a significant balance on it because I rarely get to the store. But that would have been a problem under the old regulations because a store like Bloomingdale's could have charged me anywhere from $10, $15 a month just for having the outstanding balance and not using it. That was completely wrong.
Okay. Tell Me More's money coach Alvin Hall is our expert on matters of personal finance and the economy, and he was kind enough to join us in our New York studio. Alvin, thank you.
Gift card is in the mail.